Well, let's do as we usually do. Let's take our Bibles and stand for the affirmation of what this is, and then I'm going to invite you to remain standing for just a few moments. So let's stand together and let's say this. This is the Word of God, and I know that it is true. Amen. Now, while we're standing, if you are not too self-conscious, and if you are able, I want to invite you to run in place a little bit. Okay? Run in place. All right. Some of you are doing that. Run in place just a little bit. All right. Is that enough? You want to do a little more? All right, now tumble into your seat. Well, you know, across the years of ministry, I'm aware that sometimes we get on, especially we get on kids who run in church, but this is Resurrection Day, and I'm not a kid. And some of you aren't either, so I invited you to run, so we're okay. We would have had enough room. We could have taken some laps, but had we started that, I wouldn't have been sure how to shut that down, you know. So anyway, we're okay for today. Kids love to run, don't you think? Kids love to run, love to be on the move. Kids run, it seems, just for the joy of being in motion. I dropped the two grandkids and their friend off at school the other morning. So it's a little bit after 8 o'clock in the morning. These kids have all had to get up. And as I drop them off, of course I'm thinking about today, but as I drop them off, and they're going to school, right? And I watch all these kids running into school. They're running in the book bags, the backpacks are flopping around, and most of them were on the run into the schoolhouse. It's great to move so fast. It's fun. Kids love to run. And I think young animals, too. I have this image in my mind of a young colt, you know, young horse just out running for the sheer joy of running. You know that feeling, don't you? It's somewhere there in your muscles, or in your memories. It's somewhere there. I have an image of the gravel street, the gravel road in front of our house where I grew up. My dad and Ross's dad were Army buddies, and Ross and I were very close friends. And my friend Ross and I suppose we're, well, I think he was a year behind me, so he's maybe in the fourth grade, and I'm in the fifth or third and fourth, whatever it is. And I'm thinking it was a Sunday afternoon. Just seems like it was a Sunday afternoon. And we're at the out in front of my house, up at the top of the block. Presbyterian Church is across the road. We're up there, and we're going to race down the middle of our street, gravel road. And now it's happening, you know. And I can feel it. I can feel it as I think about it. We are really going, and I'm looking over my shoulder at Ross because he's back there, and I am really moving. I mean, it is wonderful. My arms and my legs are pumping, and I feel like I'm almost flying, like I could have been airborne. And 50 years, 50 plus years later, I still can remember, and I can feel that day back then when Ross and I were racing down the street. Makes me wonder what I could have been. You know, I mean, I should have stayed disciplined, right? And I should have just gone for it, you know? Well, the pace slows with the passing of the years. And not only the pace, But sometimes even the joy and of running and the desire to run. Lots of adults are running, to be sure. They're running because there are so many things to do in the paper chase. And we used to talk a lot about the paper chase, and now it's scrambling after technology, right? You can't hardly keep up with technology, and so we're racing after that. There are so many commitments. There's so much to do in a short time. People are running at work. People are running to the workout. And I got to thinking about that. You know, if we maintained our joy, it should be the play out and not the workout, you know. But people are running to the workout and then to do the things to be done in the community. And they're running to be with the kids. And they're running to church and to do the church stuff. And they're running to cover the things that they've forgotten. We've been staying with our daughter and her family for a few days a week. And Rochelle and Jason and their three kids. And the mornings are kind of like this. Jason is up and off to his work as a school counselor. And Rochelle is off to her work in her daycare where they have about 80 children. Unless a worker has called in, which happens all too often. A worker or several workers call in to say they can't make it, they're sick, or this or that has happened. Well, then Rochelle is up at 5:30 and she's off to open up and so on. In which case, then Grandma and Grandpa are going to take Max and Benna and Jace to school, along with Allison, their friend, whose parents have already been up for, an hour or more. They've made the half-hour drive into town where they both find their jobs. And now they've been in Mexico or Hawaii or one or the two. They've just been there this last week. So then other grandparents got involved. And sometimes I just get tuckered out thinking about the details of what's going on. I'm not going to trot out all of those different details of the sprints and marathons throughout the day, to say nothing of what happens after school and in the evening and the challenges of bedtime. Yeah, all of that. But you know, most of you know what adult running is like these days. Some do run for fun, for joy, trying to sandwich it in between the daily routines and the other stuff. But I'm thinking with you now this morning about the endurance run of life. A lot of adults are running, but the smiles have been replaced with looks of determination and sometimes anguish. They're running now not for fun, but sometimes out of fear and maybe duty. They're running to keep the heart rate up. They're running to try to keep the waistline down. And they're running from the inevitable. Most now, as we move into adulthood and on through adulthood, most are not running anymore just for the sheer fun or joy of running. And in time, fast, fluid, easy motion slows to a walk and eventually to a shuffle. And finally, all youthful scampering and adult struggling ceases and the run is over. Daily, without end, there is a running tally of those whose life run. Their life run was 60 years or 80 years or whatever. And they've come to their dead end. Sometimes it happens much earlier than that. The sweat was literally dripping, running off of us back in July when I was working with my boys and my daughter-in-law chopping brush and trees that was way over our heads, sometimes 8, 9, 10 feet high. And we had machetes and we had a chainsaw out there, and we were working our way through the woods getting ready for the fall deer hunt. And we came in from an exhausting good day, and I got the news that a good friend from back in Mankato, his son, had come to the end of his earthly race that day. Matthew was 16 when his race ended abruptly with a head-on into a truck as Matthew was going to work. And it seemed like he reached over to grab a Mountain Dew or something that had rolled onto the floor, and up he goes and right head-on into the truck. I pray that that dear family will find special encouragement on this day, on this Resurrection Day. We might think, too, of the family that some of us read about or saw on television, the family from Jordan, south of the Twin Cities. When we go from the cities to Mankato, often we go through Jordan. And they were returning home from a spring trip when the young man who evidently was, they thought he was going to become a professional motocross racer or something, and he was driving and he lost control of the vehicle. There were 18 people in the vehicle, and five of them perished in that crash, at least the last I heard. Outside our daughter's house up in the Fargo-Moorhead area, I had a nice visit with a fella the other day. Seems like we'll have the chance to visit fairly often. He's an older guy. When we shook hands, man, I couldn't help but notice his hand was massive. It was just a big hand with a powerful handshake. And he was telling me, we got to conversing, and he talked about people who had been wrestlers for him. So he had been a wrestling coach. I imagine he wrestled himself, and he had been into the martial arts. And I commented to him on his hand. I said, I'm not surprised, you know. And he said, well, some of that comes from the 15, 20 years I spent driving stakes or whatever on the railroad. And then he told me about a friend of his that he was going to see that day. And here's this guy. He's not real big, and he's struggling with a lot of back issues himself and so on. But he described his friend as a big guy, as a big man. And he said, you know, this friend of mine, his wife passed away several years ago, and he hasn't been taking his meds the way the doctors want him to take. And here a few days ago, they took his one leg off, and now in another day or two, they're going to remove the other leg and some of the fingers from each of his hands. He had given up on life. His race of life was grinding to a halt. There was no more joy in running for him. A cemetery is not a place for running. I remember when our kids were little back in St. Cloud, I used to take them for a walk up Cooper Avenue, up and over the hill and down to a cemetery. And beautiful at the cemetery, you know. And we would go for a walk in there, and my little kids would be full of questions. What do you mean? You mean they, and sometimes there would be a grave that had been dug, you know, and you mean they put them in there, and well, do they leave the head above? You know, how does that work, you know? And why? And how? And, you know, all kinds of questions. Cemetery is a somber place that I think leaves questions for little children as well as adults. It's a place where cold stone and that which is etched on the stone marks the start and the finish of so many wonderful races that were run. Makes you wonder, if you ever walk through a cemetery, makes you wonder what those lives were like. Makes you wonder when your time will come to be laid in the ground. I think we sang about that this morning, some of the lyrics of one of the songs. But on Easter, on that first Easter morning, they are running in the cemetery. They're running. Listen to this, John 20, 1 to 10. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. And then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. And the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. And my guess would be that they're on the run as they're returning home. I think they're running again. A joyful, chaotic, excitement-filled run as they head home or head back to tell others. One pastor has said that this is a breathless text of Scripture. He said it's got sweat all over it. The people are on the move. Mary and John and Peter and the others are being touched by the reality and by the power of the resurrection. Now, death stops everything like that, like in a procession like that. Death stops everything. We pause for death. Schedules are adjusted. Traffic stops for the hearse. Only one thing can set the dead and the dying to running again, and that's resurrection. Resurrection can make you giggle among the graves. Resurrection can give you unreasonable, unquenchable confidence in the midst of corpses. Resurrection can help you push on no matter what the prognosis is. One thing, resurrection, victory over death, can shine great hope into a life that seems overcast with dying and with death. Now, Jesus had freed Mary Magdalene from the dark tyranny and from the abusive imprisonment of demons. And I'm sure Mary Magdalene had tried treatment of all kinds and doctors and medical stuff, whatever they had going for them back then. And she had tried various spiritual remedies and avenues, and whatever there was to help her, Mary Magdalene must have tried some of it. And then Jesus set her free. And she loves Jesus so. She loves Jesus so much. She comes that morning in her grief and in her loss to his tomb. And a life that had been so dark, that had been radiated and had become light again, has now been slowed by grief and shadows and clouds and death. And Peter and John, the beloved disciple, they've committed themselves fully to following Jesus. They knew he was the one. They've left everything. They've invested everything. And now Jesus has been killed. And I don't know if we can feel the depth of their disappointment and their despair and their confusion. But now something is happening. Something is going on. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Light is dawning. They are moving from the suspicion that someone may have stolen the body or something has happened here. They, even though Jesus had told them, even though scriptures had prophesied it, they were not really expecting a resurrection. You know, they had just kind of blown that off when he talked to them. Remember? They were looking for some kind of an earthly military political movement. But it's beginning to dawn on them that Jesus had done what he said was going to happen. He had been raised from the dead. And John enters the empty tomb and sees the burial cloths, and he believes. They didn't understand it all. Do you? Do I? We don't understand all of that. But from the dead, Jesus was risen. And dear Mary is the first to actually see the risen Lord Jesus. John 20, 10 through 18 tells of Mary Magdalene remaining at the tomb. Walter Wanagren, a marvelous student of the scripture and a marvelous storyteller, imagines the events this way, and this is from his Book of God. Mary watched until they disappeared into the city, and then finally she began to cry. No, Mary Magdalene was not strong again. She was weak and helpless and sad and desolate. And now that the tears had begun, she could not control herself at all. She went to the place where Mary Salome had broken her jar of myrrh, and she knelt down and gathered the pieces and tried to fit them together again, but she couldn't. She could hardly see. Weeping filled her vision with such a rain of sorrow that all the world was blurred. She dropped the clay shards and howled like a small child lost. Yes, Mary is crazy again, and she doesn't care. She doesn't care. Woman, someone was calling to her. Woman. It was a clear voice breaking through the mourning and the roaring in her head. Woman, it said, why are you weeping? Huffing with her sobs, Mary looked up and thought she saw the gardener coming. Because they took my Lord away, she sobbed, and I don't know where they put him. The man said, who are you looking for? Oh, sir, she said, Mary said, rising up, if you are the one who carried him off, tell me where he is, and I'll get him myself. And now the man stopped directly in front of her, long, dark hair through her swim of tears, a white tunic, clean shaven. In a soft, familiar voice, the man said, oh, Mary. And she gasped, and she looked, and she saw the beautiful forehead and the raven black hair of her dear Lord Jesus and his steadfast golden gaze. Rabboni, she cried. Hush, hush, child, hush. Jesus placed a finger to his lips. You cannot cling to me now, he said. I haven't yet ascended to my Father, but go to my friends and tell them that I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Oh, yes. Mary Magdalene was very strong indeed and swifter than the north wind blowing toward Jerusalem. She was fair and she was lovely now, her lips like a scarlet thread, her cheeks like halves of a pomegranate. And the morning was still young when she arrived for the second time at the upper room and stood in the doorway laughing into the dark den of gloomy disciples. Mary couldn't help herself. It was his great grim mouth that drove her to it. She threw out her arms and she ran to Simon Peter crying, Simon, dance with me, hug me and spin me around because I have just seen the Lord. He is alive. Simon, Simon, he has risen from the dead. She's run through the cemetery, and now she's dancing with joy as she brings the awesome news. Not long after, Jesus appeared to the disciples, and even in time to doubting Thomas. And Jesus speaks about us and speaks to us. John 20, 29, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. The risen Lord Jesus Christ pronounces blessing upon all who believe in him. And the blessing means being able to run through life because of His great unfailing love and because of His victory over sin and over death. Because of Jesus' life, because of Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' ongoing everlasting life and love and provision for us, we can run the race of life. Sometimes we are jogging, we're training, we're working to get stronger. Sometimes we're taking a break to catch our breath and get a drink of water and take a little rest. I'm looking forward to doing some teaching and preaching on Sabbath and on the need many of us have to take a break now and then. Sometimes we're sprinting, but always we are running the race of life. And now because of Jesus, we can run through the cemetery and we can run beyond, running with eternal life and energy. We can run with confidence, with celebration, and with commitment, living the eternal life that Jesus has given us. Someone has observed this, and I remember, I think, reading this back in college and again in seminary, and I probably used it in some teaching along the way. Someone has observed that we cannot really fully live until we have looked straight on, head on, at our own mortality, at the fact that we're not going to live here forever, that each of us is going to die. Jesus said to Mary and to Martha, who were grieving their dead brother Lazarus, that whoever believes in Jesus will live even though they die. That's in John, the Gospel of John. In Hebrews, we read that Jesus shared in their humanity so that by His death, He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We are free now. We are free now because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Free of the fear of death. Free to joyfully obey God. Free to pursue eternal ways, God's kingdom with all of our being. Free to live eternal life. We read in Luke 12:29-31, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, nor worry about it." Don't worry about it. "For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." John 10:10, one of my favorite verses, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full," or have it more abundantly. Proverbs 4:11-13, "I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." God guides and provides for us on the run. The psalmist says in 119:32, "I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free." And we read in Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe." God protects His own. We live daily, walking and running with energy, with endurance, and with great growing hope. And biblical hope is certainty. It's solid. It's not a wish. It's something that is solid and is sure. And so we live with a great and growing hope. Hebrews 12:1-3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Isaiah 40:31, Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how about this? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a rush! What a run! What a glorious grind to live daily in the light of Jesus' resurrection, filled with hope and with eternal life. Some of you are here today slowed by the inevitable detours and ditches along the path of life. Maybe you're young and you should be running, and yet you're plodding and struggling. Maybe you've lost a relationship. Maybe you lost a dream. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you lost health. Maybe you're losing hope. Life can be like that. Or maybe you've just gotten old. Listen, into this always graying life, Jesus Christ has come. Jesus has come to die, and He died to deal with our sin and with its consequences. And Jesus has been raised from the dead to live forever. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Sin has been defeated. Death has been conquered. The risen Lord Jesus Christ brings eternal life and light for you and for me. And we can believe, and we can run.